What a good day it is. Welcome to the podcast. It is the 4th of March, 2021. My name is Joanne. Glad to have you with me for a little bit today. And I'm just so full of the truth of God's word and what he wants to release over us today and to pull people into breakthrough. So I just release that over you in the name of Jesus Christ as you listen over the first few or the next few moments. Just expect God to make some shifts and some adjustments in your life and bring you into a deeper level of faith. I'm going to start out reading something that one of my friends in Southern Illinois wrote. He is a pastor of the Loft Church in Herrin, Illinois. His name is Josh Adkins. And he wrote a parable, posted it on Facebook. So that's what we're going to start out with. It says, two trees were talking in a field. The first one said, "You don't seem to have problems like I do. Life is harder for me. Look how much I'm swaying in this wind. I feel as if I might break at any moment." Well, the second tree said, "I'm planted right next to you, and I'm feeling exactly the same wind and pressure. The only difference is my roots have gone deeper, and that's the reason I'm standing more secure." He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Isn't that good? I mean, isn't that the truth? You've got two trees or two people that can be experiencing the exact same situation of adversity and pressure, but the difference in how they respond to that pressure depends on how deep their roots go. Because a tree that is deeply rooted won't sway as much. Okay, it won't bend and break. So God is calling us to take our roots even deeper in him. This verse of scripture that we know in the New Testament, it says, "In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Jesus said that word for tribulation in the Greek is philipsis. It means pressure. But we see that Jesus was able to withstand all the pressure and to overcome all those things. So therefore, we can be like Jesus, okay? We don't separate, you know, all of his strength and all of the power of the Holy Spirit within him just because he was the Son of God, but because he fills us with that same spirit so that we can do the same. There's going to be adversity. You know, there's going to be things coming in life that come against us. And the depth of our roots determines how we will respond to those situations and whether or not we will allow those situations to make us sway or to move us or, you know, to bend us or break us. And I'm just here to tell you, you can grow a root system, you know, that can be strong like that. Sometimes I think in the Christian life, there's this lie that is believed that Christianity is like a padded room that is just all cushy and no hard places. It's not like that. You know, God put us in the world and it's like we are against the current of the world. I mean, we are swimming upstream. And so as things come downstream, sometimes we feel the ouch as it hits us. But you know what? We're getting stronger in our swimming too. I'll tell you, and we're grabbing people along with us and taking them with us. Yeah, we're increasing in strength because Jesus is growing our roots down deep. I think also in the Christian life, we feel like our job is to remove all the adversity. When maybe God is saying, I'm wanting you to stand in the midst of that. I'm wanting you to actually resist that through the power of my strength, the power of the Holy Spirit within you, not remove it. Okay? You know, you can surround yourself with people who are like you so that you don't have any adversity. But man, the minute someone else who's not like you comes along, it's like, are you wanting to whack their head off? Or are you actually saying, hey, this person is from God. They might actually see something differently from me than me that's going to help me. Maybe they've got a root system in an area that I don't have yet, and I can actually grow from what God has grown in them. I'm looking at Colossians right now because, you know, Jesus is always always the answer. Our relationship with Him is where we will develop the deep roots. Colossians 1 is all about Jesus. And Paul wrote to them and said, I have heard that you have received the truth of this gospel. And it says, and it's bringing forth fruit. You know, receiving Jesus and knowing Jesus isn't something that we checked off our list at one time. You know, we became a tree in the kingdom, and our tree is supposed to be growing fruit. And the longer that we grow with Him in the kingdom, the bigger the top of that tree becomes. There should be even more fruit so that even more people can sit under its shade and eat of the fruit of our life. Okay, this is what God is growing. This is what the kingdom looks like. So, I mean, we're going to talk also about bringing forth the fruit that comes from our lips, okay? The things that we say. How do we grow deep roots? Well, first of all, we've got to have Jesus in our life, right? I mean, a life that is not just, yeah, I was saved. I believed in the Jesus that was 2,000 years ago, words on a page, and I hashtag His name at the end of my prayers. Nope. Okay. We're talking about the Jesus who resurrected and He is alive forevermore. We're talking about the Jesus who is present with us and lives within us and converses with us daily. We're talking about the Jesus who is our life. I mean, he came out of that tomb. He did not stay dead. All right. And he lives with us, and the Christian life is living in relationship with Him. Okay. I think we throw that relationship word around a lot. I think it's just one that our culture accepts easily, but it's talking about doing life with Jesus. And He said, if you try to find your life your own way, you're going to lose it. But if you will lay down your life for my sake and for the kingdom, you're going to find it. I mean, if you really want to find what life and living is about and our purpose, it is all in Jesus. It is in our love relationship, our love walk with Him, where we have surrendered all our life. Because see, I think here's another lie. I think that we get close enough to Jesus sometimes for Him to fix the things that we're going through, the adversity that we don't like, and then we want to go back to living life our way. And that's not going to work anymore. Okay, that's not going to function well in the kingdom from here on out. Jesus is looking for a lifelong commitment, where it's like, I am laying down my whole life to live every day in love with you and do what you say. Okay, that's what laying down our life is like. That is the beginning of roots growing down deep. It's the heart level of commitment that says, I'm sold out. Everything I am is yours, God. My whole life. Amen. So roots going down deep. Our tree grows and produces fruit. I think about Jesus, you know, in the adversity and the way that He resisted the enemy. You know, if we've got adversity in our life, it's like the same thing, just over and over again. If we could look ahead in our future 5 or 10 years and see some of the adversity that we are going to face, I mean, how are we going to start preparing now to mow over that so that it doesn't mow over us? Okay, see, this is what Jesus wants to grow in us. He wants to grow a mindset that says, I'm going to overcome that. It's not going to overcome me in His name and through His power. He wants that deep root in us. So we're talking about that mindset, that deep root system, okay, that can withstand adversity, you know, even if God doesn't remove the adversity. Some adversities do get removed. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm all for that. But he's really interested in our growth and the fruit that comes from that. So, different ways to grow deep roots. Okay, we have the basics: Bible reading, time in prayer, fellowshipping with believers, serving in the kingdom. You know, all these things grow deep roots. Holy Spirit. Oh my goodness. Baptism, the Holy Spirit. Mega root, tap root. Okay. Him living in us in a powerful way. Okay. These are all things, but there's the fruit that I'm going to go into right now has to do with speaking and our words. We have this example in the Gospels where Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, then he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And the devil came to him, and every time Jesus spoke the truth to shut up the enemy, okay? And then as a result of contending and speaking with the devil, resisting those temptations, then he came out of the wilderness empowered by the Spirit. So there is an empowerment that comes when we are in a contest and we speak those things that God wants us to speak, okay? Our words are really, really important. Even in the book of Proverbs, we know this verse that says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." And so, I mean, if we're speaking doubt, unbelief, criticism, death, complaining, nag, you know, whining, you know, why is this always happening to me? Okay, we'll eat the fruit of that. And if we're not speaking what God wants us to say, we'll eat the fruit of that too. I mean, he doesn't call us to be silent. He gave us a mouth, right? To speak the things that he wants us to speak. But if we will speak life, if we will speak the truth in those situations, we get to eat the fruit of that. And it tastes good. So, speaking. Here's a good scripture. It is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. Paul writes, "And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, 'I believed and therefore I spoke,' we also believe and therefore we speak." I want to take you back to the Old Testament because this principle is seen about the power of words if we want to go into our promised land, the things that God has spoken over us, our promises. Excuse me. Let's look at the Israelites, Moses, and Joshua. Because you know that the Israelites were delivered from Egypt and they met God, Mount Sinai, then they were taken to their promised land and they sent out the 12 spies, okay, to spy out the land. They came back with this huge pole of enormous grapes showing the fruit of the land. But 10 spies brought back a bad report, is what scripture says. They said, "Oh no, there's giants in the land. We were like grasshoppers in their sight. It'll devour our children." But two of them, Joshua and Caleb, they spoke what the Lord wanted them to speak. Said, "God is with us. We are well able to overcome it. Let us go in at once." And the whole congregation of Israel believed the bad report. And they complained against God. They cried out to God. And God said, "Okay, you will not go into your promised land because you didn't believe. Therefore, you didn't speak. But my two servants, Joshua and Caleb, they will take the next generation in." And so the children of Israel had to circle around in the wilderness for 40 years until that generation died off and until their children were raised up and were willing to do what their parents weren't willing to do. Okay, let's look at the life of Moses. If you remember, he met God at the burning bush. And God said, "I want you to go speak to Pharaoh." And Moses argued with God and says, I'm slow of speech. I'm not eloquent." And so God says, "Okay, your brother will speak for you." But when it came time in the wilderness, you remember the rock, that the water came forth from the rock. The first time God said, "Strike the rock," and the water came forth, and all the nation of Israel was able to drink. But as they got closer to the time of going into their promised land, God said to Moses, "Speak to the rock." And what did Moses do in his anger? he struck the rock. So once again, Moses didn't speak when God told him to speak, and he wasn't able to go into the promised land. Side note, he went up on a mountain to view it, and then he ended up going into heaven. So, I mean, he actually got something greater. He got to see the promised land from afar, but God says, hey, I'll take you up here. It's going to be far better. But the point is, if we want to go into the promises of God, our words have to line up with what God is saying to us, okay? All right, fast forward to Joshua. Joshua and Caleb, they're able to take the children of Israel into the promised land, okay? Their first battle was at Jericho. Did you know that they had to be silent? As they walked around the walls of Jericho, they were not allowed to speak. I think they weren't allowed to speak for 7 days, probably even in the camp. And then at the end, they let out a great shout. And it's almost like God was saying, we are not going to risk anyone speaking one word against what God is trying to do in this battle. And so they had to discipline their mouth to be silent and not speak the fear and the unbelief, but then to be ready to proclaim with a great shout the victory of God. And they won that initial battle in the promised land. Okay. So, I mean, this concept of speaking is all through the Bible. I wrote a book a few years ago. This was my second one. It's called Word of God. And I have a chapter in here that's called Authority, Our Faith Speaks. And just consider this for, like, this would be roots that are not deep. Okay. God, when will you get this devil away from me? I told you to, James 4:7. God, there's a mountain in front of me. When will you move it? I told you to, Mark 11:23. God, when will my situation change? When will you? Romans 12:2. God, don't you care that this is happening to me? Yes, I care, and I will speak to the storm for you again, but where is your faith? Mark 4:40, when will you speak to it? And so if you want your roots to grow down deep, we have to embrace this part of the Christian life, that we have been called to use our words to shift atmospheres and to advance the kingdom of God. Our words have power. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you are spirit and life. And so if he is inside of us and wants us to speak what he is saying, it's going to carry that same spirit and life. So child of God, do you see yourself the way that God sees? Do you believe that your words have power? Because if you don't think that your words have power, then they probably don't. But if you will attach your faith to this principle, the authority that has been given to you, by Jesus. You know, it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, that we are seated with him in heavenly places. And I know that the Holy Spirit's going to give you a revelation on this and your authority. Jesus died, resurrected, ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of God, far above all rule and authority. All things are under his feet, the scripture says. Then he says, you are seated with him positionally in Christ. Even as you are on the earth, you have been given the full measure of what Jesus won and was victorious for his believers. Positionally, you are seated with him in heavenly places. That means everything's under your feet as well, through his name. Amen. Let's look at this one. You talk about a revelation of scripture. This one transformed my life. You talk about roots growing deep. This is 1 John 4:17. And in the New King James Version, I believe this is translated the most accurately, where John writes, as he is, so am I in this world. What do you do with that? As Jesus Christ currently is in heaven, so am I in this world. You see, he didn't leave us here as orphans. He came to us and he gave us everything that we needed to get through this life, to withstand all the adversity that would come against us. And be victorious over it. You know, David Crowder, a Christian recording artist, he posted a meme this week. Man, you talk about powerful. It says, "What doesn't kill me, better run." Okay? In other words, it better be running from me. See, the enemy is afraid of you. The enemy, I've got to say this again, he's not equal with God. He was a created being. He was an angel that fell. He was never equal with God. And then it says that man has been created even lower than the angels. But then the Spirit of the living God comes to dwell in each one of us. We're his temple. I mean, how God has insulted and humiliated Satan by putting him in man who was lower than the angels. I don't even know if you can grasp onto that. But I mean, that's who you are, child of God. I mean, you've been seated with Christ in heavenly places as he is. So are you in this world. And the fullness of God has been placed inside of you through the Holy Spirit. That's who you are. And so therefore, we can believe these deep truths of the gospel. We can speak these things. And this is what it says in the book of James. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Okay? I mean, a life that is surrendered to the Lord and obedient to the Lord, there is an authority that the enemy has to go when you speak the word of God. It cannot stay. Thank you for that, God. Thank you for that. All right. So if you can attach your faith to this, it's a deep root. But I tell you what, we need some deep roots for what lies ahead in the kingdom of God. The roots that we had in 2020, we need to go even deeper still. And God is calling us into deeper levels of faith. Okay? Wow, God, take us anywhere you want to go. So I want to thank you so much. What do you need to speak over your life that is true? What has God said about you that you're afraid that if you speak it, people think, oh, I don't know. I mean, what do you need to speak over yourself? Tell you what, I wrote books, okay? That's kind of the thing for me. It's like, hey, I just need to be bolder in what God has done in my life and not be afraid to say what he's, you know, yeah, I do a podcast. I do a radio show. You know, I'm a prophetic leader in the circles and the influences that God has given me. Okay? What do you need to speak over you? I'll be back again next time. Thank you so much for listening.